Hey, Kim, why can't a bike stand on its own?
I don't know, Jen. Why can't a bike stand on its own?
Because it's too tired.
All right. Hello, everybody. We are here for episode 3. We are excited and we are ready.
We sure are. And we're hoping, because we're recording at my house, we don't get interrupted by any of my 3 children.
If you hear children screaming in the background...
It's okay. They're fine. They've just fallen out of the tree. They're climbing in the front.
They're all good.
It's good.
All right, Jen. So we have some sad news to share. I'm upset.
Are you? I'm not, but I'll tell you why after.
Maybe you can fix it. Okay. So we saw a tweet and a post a couple days ago, I guess, right?
Yes.
A couple days ago, that the goo.gl, how do you say it?
Goo.gl.
Goo.gl.
Not Jew.jl.
No. Let's not, please. Are we ever going to have an episode where we don't?
Maybe when we decide to wrap it up, we'll
just settle. We'll settle on it.
I don't think we'll ever settle. I think if we start having guests, we need to have a running vote is what we need.
That's a good idea. We could do that. As long as we agree not to fight about it. I don't know if we could do that.
I'm okay with not fighting because I know I'm right.
All right. So a couple days ago, we saw an announcement that the goo.gl Chrome extension, which allows you to create a shortened URL of any website really quickly. And it has something that I use all the time, which is a QR code generator, is being sunsetted.
Yeah.
Now, I actually don't use the website. I use the extension, but I imagine they're both going.
Yeah, I think I read that.
So that was upsetting to me.
So I've never really used the goo.gl because I don't like that you can't customize it. So I'm a big fan of Bitly for that reason. And which are you. And we talked about it last episode, right? Yeah. So like, I'm pretty sure I mentioned that I have mild dyslexia. So seeing the letters and the numbers mixed up and just if you're talking about UDL at all and wanting to access for kids, like I think it's just better practice to be able to customize them, and Bitly's free. So I like that, but use it for a reason.
I use it for the QR code generator.
Right.
It's so quick and oops, sorry about that. Bang the table. It's so quick and simple to create. You just click 2 clicks and you've got your QR code. You can drag and drop it onto any document. You can print the image. I used to use it for, well, actually I'll talk about it in a future podcast about how I used to use it all the time.
Okay. So is it just the fact that you don't now have a go-to QR code?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is the one that I use. It's literally the first one that I Googled ages ago, and it tends to be my go-to. I really like it.
Okay.
You can sign up, which I imagine means you can store them, but I don't really ever have a need to store them because they're usually stored in a slide deck or a document somewhere. So it's just www.qr-code-generator.com.
That's it.
And it does URLs, V-cards, text, emails, SMS, you know, you type it in.
So I just paste the URL into the site.
So, if you were doing like any website, and then you type in the URL, type QR code generator, and there it is on the right-hand side. You can say if you want a frame around it, or, you know, it says scan me, it's super cute. You can customize it, although I think the customizing one is you need to sign up, and there might be a fee. And then you just download it actually says, it'll start in a minute, and the first time I used it, I thought it wasn't downloading, but it actually takes a minute because they have like this little like, hey, do you want to do more? Go pro. And it explains pro, and it sort of forces you to sit there for a minute. It goes on to,
then it pops up.
It pops up. And all I ever do on the Mac is like drag it then into wherever I need it to go.
Right click, save as.
Right click. Yeah, absolutely. Right click, save as, and you're good to go.
Goodbye, .gl.
Goodbye.
.gl. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Yeah. Sunset.
So I'll put the link to that in case other people
are having
something similar to you there.
Yeah.
So sad. It's like the era is done. And they're actually giving, which I thought was really nice, suggestions on where to go.
Yeah, I saw that. They suggested bit.ly and Owly, which I haven't used.
No, neither am I. So curious to explore that.
And that's probably why they're sunsetting it, because they don't need to if there's other tools out there that do just the same thing.
It's a saturated market.
They can focus their attention elsewhere.
Yeah.
So, do you have a share?
I had a big aha. So I actually had someone reach out and say, is there a way that I can embed a Google form in a, Google Slide presentation. She wanted students to go through it. It's sort of a self-paced slide thing. And can you...
A form in a slide?
So that you could have the form, much like you would in Google Sites, have the form in there to be able to fill out on the site.
So not just a hyperlink to go out for formative. Precisely.
So I Googled it. I'm like, embed. And all of a sudden there was this thing that came up. And I always do my search tools like within the last year. And I was like, this is amazing. It was a video. And I don't normally like to watch the videos. And I watch them in double speed. I do everything in double speed. You know this.
What you can't see right now is my eyes are bulging. Is this actually possible?
So no. It was too good to be true. I was like, I got to watch it. And essentially I said, there it is. See, oh, everyone, I want you to know I brought a thesaurus today. So when I use essentially too much, I have it to the... Kim can vouch for me. It's to the page for essential, so I'm going to try it. So basically, it explained how to link to an outside.
Oh, okay.
That's not exciting.
So but if anybody out there wants to build this, we would love to have a form, live form accessible within a slide deck.
Yeah, for self-directed.
That'd be cool.
But what I did get from it.
Yeah.
That made me do my big aha was this Google add-on that I hadn't heard of before, and it's called Doc to Form. So I'm often asked, okay, Jen, yeah, I want to go paperless and I'm going to put everything on, but I have all these quizzes. I can go to Google Forms, but like I'm going to have to retype everything or cut and paste and whatnot. And this is the solution. So I'm like, oh, great. So I had to think of all the people that I've told. I don't really know anything, but if I find something.
I vaguely remember this
You
one.
Go to Google Docs and you get the add-on called Doc to Form. And, you know, the flyout says create a form to doc. When you create that, a little sidebar opens. You need to
authorize it.
Now, what you will notice, I believe, when you log in and we'll see, it'll give you the app isn't verified. If you get that, your option seems to only be back to safety. But if you click advanced... It will say, okay, are you sure it's unsafe? And it just means it hasn't been verified by Google.
Okay.
Click go to Doc to Form. And then you'll see the normal thing that you get that says, you know, gives you all of the permissions that you're allowing. And you click allow. So now I'm in. And the sidebar will pop up that says, okay, do you want to create a form? And I say, yeah, I want to create a form. And it gives me options here. So do you want to collect the username? Yes or no. Do you want to ask for the name? Sure. Ask for the teacher's name. And those are check boxes. And then, so I have a little Macbeth Act 1 study quiz that I did once with students. You just highlight the text.
Okay.
And then under question 1, there's a text box you can type into, or once you highlight text, you can say use selected text. And it pulls it in for you automatically. And then you say, okay, well, what type of question? There's a drop down here again. Do you want paragraph, multiple choice, checkbox, or choose from a list? And I'm going to say, okay, I want a paragraph for this. And then I can add my next question. There's a button underneath. And so now I go to question 2. Same thing. I'm going to highlight it. Use selected text.
That's
the
really
type. I'm going to choose paragraph. And I'm going to do this, let's say, in this case, for 3 questions. And then I say, okay, I'm all done. I want this to be, you know, a paragraph as well. And then there's a blue button at the very bottom on the right-hand side. You hit create form, and it actually generates the form for you. It'll say success and says, do you want to view the form?
Sorry.
And you click view form, and it's all there.
That's amazing.
For you. Now, you might want to go in and format how it looks and whatnot, but at least those ones that you already have established for people who are looking to go from the paper copies to a digital copy.
Yeah.
It's a little bit faster than having the 2 windows open. Have we talked about tab resize?
No, but it's coming up.
Sneak peek. So instead of having to split your screen, this is a cool way to do it. Now, the one thing I will tell you is that at 10 questions, and I want to get this right, I have it in the notes, it says, if you want more, you have to pay.
Oh.
And it's, they give you options, you pay through PayPal, and it allows you up to 50 questions, which hopefully we're not doing quizzes at all. Although if you're doing one that's...
Like a choose your own adventure.
Or I like to do forms for review that if you don't get it right, then you know, go to a video
branch
or an
forms.
Explanation of the branch forms that way. But that might be something you'd have to create on your own because the branches are not created through this add-on. But it seems that as low as $3 US, which at the time that I checked was $3.87 Canadian, you could get access to everything. And sure enough, when I tried to add question number 11, it said, we're just checking to see if you're in our database. It says, no, you're not. Consider. But you can get up to 10 at least. So,
that's good.
It's called Doc to Form.
Neat.
That was a really cool way if you're looking to go from paper to
digital. Who made
that?
I thought I recognized the name, Ollie.
It
said Ollie Trussell. I feel like I know Ollie. I feel like...
That's fun.
I want to...
He's from the UK.
Yes, I know Ollie.
Oh, yeah.
He's the one that taught me VLOOKUP.
Oh, I love Ollie because I love VLOOKUP. I used VLOOKUP last week for something that I was doing.
So, Ollie, if you're listening and you remember me from, I don't know, 5 years ago, thanks again for teaching me how to do a VLOOKUP, and thanks for Doctiform.
That's hilarious. Okay, we'll put Ollie's sort of a handle in Ollie Trussell. Is that his name?
I think so.
There you go.
We'll and put, if I'm wrong, it's nice to meet you, Ollie.
If this is Ollie, we don't even know. It just says Mr. Trussell.
But I know he's from the UK.
Okay. Well, that probably is. At any rate, he has a few different add-ons that looked interesting.
Yeah. So. Awesome.
Yeah. Cool. That's my share. Doctiform.
Nice.
Your turn.
Okay. I have a share. I have two short shares and then I'll give my longer one later. This is a very simple aha moment that I had this week. Thanks to somebody from my PL, and her name is Pam McInnes. She's an administrator. She didn't even realize that what she was trying to tell me was, to me,
this
unbelievable.
We say it all the time, right? Small to you, big to others. Oh my Share goodness. Everything because oh you never my know. Goodness. It's why we started this podcast.
So we were just talking about forms and sheets and, you know, the data that comes from a form that pushes directly into a sheet. She was talking about how sometimes when she collects data for just observations of her school, documenting conversations with parents, she uses a Google form. And she was talking about how sometimes she documents a conversation a couple days after or the next day after it has actually happened and she needs to adjust the time. So what she said was, you know, if you double click on the timestamp in a sheet, the calendar comes up. And I said, what?
What? But they're not hyperlinked.
I know. She's like, no, if you double click and I go into the cell and I click on it and I'm like, no, you have to go in and you have to manually change the date. She's like, no, just double click on it. Watch this.
Oh, get out of town.
That's what I said. I was in the workshop and I said, are you kidding me? This whole time a calendar has been there. So you just have to double click, change the date. And it even changes the formatting to like a more readable format. It just changes the date.
So the only thing you really lose in this case is the time.
Yes, you would lose the time because that makes sense. If you're changing the date.
Yeah, of course, it wouldn't be the
same
time.
But if the time doesn't matter, I mean, yeah, you can manually go in and you can change it. But who knew that if you double click on it, a calendar comes up?
Does that happen only with forms, I wonder, or in any cell that you...
If I go in and put in a date, so like December 3rd, 1979.
A good date.
Okay, so there's the date. I'm going to make sure it's formatted. I'm going to format it as a date just to be sure it's formatted as a date. Now, if I double click, yes!
What?
Yes! That's pretty awesome.
That's really awesome. Because I always mess up
the order.
Day. So my birthday is May the 6th. So 5th month, 6th day.
Yes.
So I'm like, is it 5-6 or is it 6-5? I've always done it 5-6 because I'm 77. So it's 5-6-7-7.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
But... And I think it's an American or UK thing.
I don't even know.
May the 6th versus the 6th of May? I say May the 6th. What do you say?
I say May the 6th, but sometimes when I'm typing it in, I'll do the date than the year.
Yeah.
And when the month is, or when the date is higher than the month,
it's easy,
but when it's not.
Yeah, that's really cool. Anyways,
that was a neat little trick.
Little trick, but really neat.
Love it. Okay.
Thank you. Who's that, Pam?
Pam McInnes.
Thanks, Pam McInnes.
Okay, so another share that I got from two teachers in my PLN, and I'm going to have to make sure I say their names correctly. I'm going to pronounce it wrong. I'm so sorry. Okay, so Melissa Abale and Stephanie...
Vecchiarelli.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's right, Vecchiarelli.
Yeah, see, all those Italian courses in university paid off.
Okay, so we were just talking, and they were sharing with me something that they loved, and it's this site, and I don't think this is going to be new to everybody. I think this was just new to me, but this was great. There's this site called Noizly.
Yeah, I love Noizly.
So Noizly is a site, and if I click on it, you'll probably hear it in the background.
Well, let's play it.
Okay, so what it is when you are working, when you have your students working and you want them to be focusing or you want them to calm, this is a great website that just plays white noise in the background. Yeah. Is that what it's called? White noise?
Yep.
Or just sort of noise. Empty noise that will just fill. There's a great sound. So I thought that was great in terms of calming spaces, helping students to focus. And that's what it's for. It's for mindfulness and focus. So if you have some students that... need noise in the background, mm-hmm. but you don't want the noise to be distracting, because yeah. sometimes they'll say, oh, can I listen to my music? But the music can actually end up being a distraction.
Yeah, like when they start singing
lyrics
along.
And they're singing.
Hey, I just met you.
This is crazy.
Now it's going to be in my head all day. I know. You know why it's mine? Because my kids sing it.
My kids, I won't even say the one that my kids were singing yesterday, because they were watching Sing. And
I know. Yes, I know.
I'm not even.
I know it. It's already
Elton
in my head.
Elton John.
Yeah, I know it.
Destroyed my day yesterday. It's all day
Elton
long.
Elton John can never destroy anyone's day.
So this is a great option, I thought, just yeah. to have, if they have their earbuds in, yeah. have some rain in the background or just some white noise mm. for calming.
I love a noise that you can actually layer the noises.
Yeah, so you can make your own.
Yeah, so when you go to the site, there's little icons for like, so the rain is like a little rain cloud with raindrops, and then there's thunder. So I can have the rain.
What's the dial?
Then I can add the thunder. I'll show you. And then underneath I can turn, then underneath there's like a little slider, so I can turn the rain down.
And turn the thunder up.
But I can turn the thunder up.
You know, they did tell me, Stephanie and Melissa did tell me, watch the thunder with little kids, because it will scare them.
Yeah, that's fair.
However,
I actually have used this. I discovered this, I want to say in the last year, and I'll often use it when I go to Starbucks or anywhere to work, because the white, I'm a total eavesdropper all the time. I need to know what's going on. I have major FOMO, even if I don't know you. And so I put it on, because the music, same with me, I start singing.
Yeah.
But I love this because I can throw it on and it's just sort of that background noise without being noise.
And it's calming.
It's very calming. Yeah.
Which I
very
think calming. Is great.
And I, truth be told, sometimes I wear my noise-canceling headphones around my house when my kids are being loud and I don't want to tell them to be quiet. Because I understand that kids have to be kids.
Yeah.
And same with in teaching sometimes. I'm not saying wear headphones that are noise-canceling in your classroom. But if, you know, you're on your prep period or yeah. if you have a common lunch, that's another time that I would use it in a school, is to throw it on just to block out that sort of noise.
And I'm also thinking about curriculum connections. If you're doing any drama, any writing,
absolutely.
This would be a wonderful tool to just add that
oh, yeah.
mood.
Yeah, absolutely. If I, instead of trying to go find a sound effect like that, I'm thinking like the opening scene of Macbeth with the double toil and trouble, and they have the
yeah.
rain and boom, here we go, and you can totally create your own. Yeah, it's really cool. And there's an app too. It's not just web-based.
Oh,
there's an app as well.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Anyway, so those are my two quick shares.
Love them.
Thanks.
Love them. That was pretty good.
You're up. What have you got?
So my big aha isn't really an aha, like ah, it's like oh. I love it. See the difference
yeah,
there?
Yeah.
So
it makes you happy.
It started last year and it is Sketch 50. So for anyone who doesn't know, Sketch 50 is a 50-day sketching challenge. And it challenges people to flex their creativity muscles, so to speak.
Okay.
So almost 2 years ago now, I started sketchnoting. And it's been quite a journey. And I started with having absolutely no experience. And then it turned into, we were, in our role, we're often on our computers. And we were doing some work around truth and reconciliation with the Indigenous peoples of Canada mm-hmm. in a meeting. And I didn't want to be sitting on my computer.
Yep.
Because I found that to be really disrespectful in any situation, let alone in this one that was so important. But I also knew I get drawn in easily. So I thought, well, what can I do to distract myself? Because I just can't do one thing at a time. It's not in me. So I thought I'm going to try this sketchnoting thing. And I'd been listening to a book in the car, as I often do, or podcasts. And I'd started, but I thought, okay, maybe if I just do like little snapshots instead of a whole book. Because I was finding getting through the book the first time, because they're so long, really difficult to sketch. And I did a sketch about the topic that we were discussing around truth and reconciliation at that staff meeting.
Yeah.
I mean, long story short, I came home that night. I put the sketch on my island in the kitchen. We're dealing with the kids. And my husband came home and you know, we haven't talked, my husband and I, I'd say about 5.5 years, because we have 5.5-year-olds. So we're not allowed to talk because we constantly get interrupted. By the time they go to bed, we're exhausted. But what happened was he saw my sketch note. And he said, what's this? And I said, oh, that's what we learned today about truth and reconciliation in the staff meeting. And that evening, we had a 45-minute discussion around truth and reconciliation, the Indigenous
wow.
peoples of Canada. And I thought, I all of a sudden had billions. It was like fireworks going off in my brain about how this would be so helpful to me, because I could remember so much of the conversation when I got home to explain to him. It prompted a discussion for us. So it really got me hooked onto sketchnoting. And that's what I do whenever I go to basically anywhere. If there's a keynote, I sketch it. And when I'm feeling stressed, it's how I do. A lot of people do yoga. I do that a little bit too, or meditation, but mine is absolutely, if I'm feeling anxious in any way, it's sketchnoting. And I just find there's something about it. And I'm an analog sketchnoter, and I do that for two reasons. First one is I like the pen to paper. To get off the computer, because we're on it so much. But I also like that I have to revel in the mistakes. If you're on an iPad, I can erase them. If I'm on pen to paper, I can't really do anything. I need to iterate into something different, or because it's very rare that I'll let myself rip a page out, especially if I'm really into things. So Sketch 50 came out last year. Sketch 50 is 50 days of sketching. And last year they did it that they had big things every day almost. And they said about the 25 day mark, people got burnt out. But what they do, what they did last year was they had people, or they tweeted out every day, sketch this, sketch a light bulb, sketch a brain. And they had a theme for every week. But they started to realize that people burned out because they were doing big things. So instead this year of tweeting every day, they're tweeting once a week and they're giving the theme and they're creating, and I'll put a link into it, but they essentially basically,
oh, that's really nice,
create one sheet that says theme at the top, and then they have five little boxes. And what they challenge you to do is every day they give you ideas in the corner. So more than five ideas. So you're not limited to that idea that day. And they say, okay, every day in a box, so this is this week's, for example, you pick one of the things. So this week is always learning. So pick a pencil, a gear, a light bulb, connection, reflect. So some of them are really concrete. Some of them are abstract.
So they give you a word or a concept, and you have to sketch whatever that means to you.
Yeah, so a light bulb is pretty tangible,
yeah,
whereas communication might not be.
Right.
And then you tweet them out, and they say do it for 5 minutes every day. And then on the weekends, they're doing what's called, well, you can really do them, I think, anytime, but they're doing level up challenges. So they have this chart, I think there's 24 of them. So they'll say sketch a quote, sketch your family.
Like a choice board?
It's almost like a choice board. And then for everyone you do, you can tweet it out or put it on Instagram, and you can enter a form, and you put a link to that tweet or to that Insta post, and you're entered in draws to win all these prizes, like books from Sunny or Suni Brown. I call her Sunny Brown. I think it's Sunny, but it might be Suni, who's Doodle Revolution. Mike Rode, or Rody, I call him Rode, but other people say Rody, who has probably my favorite book on sketchnoting ever, which is the Sketchnote Handbook. And Sylvia Duckworth has given her book, Sketchnote for Educators. And yeah, it's really, I think it's a really cool thing. And what I love most about it is you can actually do it with your students. So every day for me, I think especially in elementary, that transition from lunch recess, you can follow them on Twitter at sketch_50, and people are sharing things and they really encourage you to take risks. Sketch 50. That's nice. My big aha. Not aha.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. What do you have?
All right. So my aha moment, this is not one that happened, just like your Sketch 50 is not one that happened right now. It was a while ago. This is one that, this was definitely an aha moment for me, but from a few years ago. And I think it's still, relevant. So I wanted to share it.
Okay.
I was working with my students. They were in grade 8 at the time, and trying to help them make their thinking visible. Similar to last week, I was talking about how we can use version history to make thinking visible. So along the same lines, I wanted they were, you know, submitting their docs to me, and I thought, I want to see what you're thinking. I want to see the questions that you're asking. So when I was giving feedback to my students, I was using comments,
right,
which was wonderful. I was commenting on their work. They were replying to me. It was very powerful. We had good dialogue going on, but I thought there's more to this than me giving them comments. So we had a talk. I did a think aloud. I showed them if I was going to comment on my own work and use comments as a virtual post-it note, a digital post-it note.
Like a
self-edit.
Okay.
So if you're thinking to yourself, oh, you know what, I'm writing this paragraph, but this topic sentence doesn't make sense to me, I'm going to revise it.
Mm-hmm.
I need to know what you were thinking. I need to hear that question. I need to hear you say, this sentence doesn't make sense to me, I'm going to change it. Or I don't like this word. I want to know that you didn't like that word. That's your thinking, and I need to hear that.
Right.
So I did a think aloud where I modeled, if I was revising and editing my own work, how would I use the comments to show my teacher what I'm thinking? I had them running with it, and it was remarkable how they were able to use these digital post-it notes or comments in a Google Doc to identify points in their work that they wanted to change, improve, revise, edit.
So once they made it, would they resolve it, or how would you know?
So I told them, please don't ever resolve it, even though if they did, I could always see the history of it.
Yeah, in comments, yeah.
And yes, you do run into the risk that they can delete their own comments that they make, because the owner of a comment does have the ability to delete it. But we had developed that culture where we knew that the process was important and the process was valuable. So they were using comments to revise and edit their own work and to make their thinking visible.
Yeah.
Now when I work with teachers, I have them plus mention themselves and then task themselves with things. Cool. So if you are making a comment on something, you highlight it and you press the little symbol or you use the shortcut.
Yeah, the symbol looks like a little speech bubble and pops up on the right-hand side.
Right. So if I was tasking myself, then I would check the little box that comes up underneath the comment and it says assign to virtual gift or assign to kimberly.polishuk@gmail.com. And then when I click assign, it will come up. Now, I just did this to Jen. I'm going to do it for myself again. So plus, I'm assigning it to myself. Assigned to you. The comments that you have assigned to yourself will have blue at the top. Mm-hmm. And the comments that you assign to somebody else will be gray. But then the really amazing part of this is mm-hmm. something called actionable items. So mm-hmm. sometimes you're finished revising. You've finished making your thinking visible. You've given yourself all the comments you need. And you've closed the document. Well, 3 days go by and you think,
I have a lot of work I have to do.
I have a lot of tasks I've given myself, but I have no idea where they are.
Yeah.
So here is an awesome tool. If you go into your drive, just any page in your drive, and you go into the top where it says search drive, you'll see there's a little drop down arrow, which actually, thank you for the comment from a friend of ours who sent in a comment about our podcast and said, just like we call the three dots Timbits and the three lines pancakes and the apps grid the waffle, he said he likes to call the drop down arrow the shark
tooth. That was Jeff Humphreys.
So click on the shark tooth and a drop down menu appears. When you scroll right to the bottom of that drop down menu, you'll see an item called follow up. When you click on the next shark tooth, so the drop down menu for follow up, you'll see an option called action items only.
Yeah.
When you click on action items only and then search, all of the files in your drive for which you have tasked yourself or that you have been tasked by somebody else will appear with a little dial, with a little circle beside it with the number of tasks that you have.
Yeah, a little gray circle.
And when you click on that little gray circle, not only will it open up the document, but it will take you directly to that actionable item within the document. This is a really powerful tool for students who are making their thinking visible, tasking themselves with things they need to do, because this is a great tool to track it and then find them again later.
Yeah.
So it's in the Google Drive page. Go into your search drop-down bar, follow up, action items only. And then click search and all of those items will come up.
That's such a great way to find that and to filter down.
Yeah.
And then once you resolve it, did you say that when I was stepping in?
Yeah. No, I didn't. But when you resolve an action item, it will vanish from your action items list.
Yeah.
It's great.
That is great. Love it. Good share. Very good share.
That's it for this week. If you liked what you heard, please subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
And if you think others might enjoy some of this learning, please give us a rating.
Show notes for this and all episodes can be found at bit.ly/shooksandgif.
That's bit.ly/shukesandgiff.
As always, we would love to hear your ahas on the Anchor app.
Or by tweeting at us using the hashtag #shooksandgif, sending us an email, or talking to us in real life.
I'm Kim Polishuk, and I can be found on Twitter at Kim Polishuk.
And I'm Jen Giffen, and I can be found at Virtual GIF with 2 Fs.
Thanks for listening to Shooks and GIF.
And as always,
have an aha,
give it a go.
Shooks and GIF is a proud member of Voice Ed Radio. Your voice is right here.
For more great content, go to voiceed.ca.